ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Best of the Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com on ESPN 97.5. Here's Jong Lee.
Welcome into the Best of the Blitz. I'm Jong Lee, and I've hijacked the show for the day. Fred and AJ are out in San Francisco, probably acting a fool. Joining me right now is one of the hardest working men in this building, David Philpott. How's it going, David?
What's going on, Jong Lee? How are you?
I'm doing okay.
How you doing going solo?
It's not that bad because I only get, I come in, intro the segment and then outro it and we play the Best of the Blitz.
Okay.
How's it going?
It's going good. A little best of.
Yeah. So for the people that don't know about you, tell the people listening in Houston a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm one of the producers here at Gal Media on the Yahoo Sports Radio side on the network and also on the local side. And, from time to time, I guess you, Fred, AJ, and others decide to bring me on for whatever reason.
Now, David, you've told me that you're up for co-hosting any other show if we ever, are caught in a bind. And with people in the past, we've done a few things with you, like Valentine's Day we did a little bit last year.
We did.
Christmas carols in the past.
We have.
And you've done Texans Creek with John Raheel with Dell.
That seems to be a pretty good hit.
Yeah. You enjoying yourself?
Of course. Who wouldn't?
So back in October, we ran into a little bit of a bind because Fred was out, and I thought we had Jerome booked for the day to fill in. There was a little bit of miscommunication. So I ended up grabbing Barry Laminack, who is working at the time, and he said he didn't know if he could make it by 4 o'clock. So AJ started the show solo, and he was like, oh, maybe we should grab David Philpott to co-host the show for a little bit. So how did you feel about that day when AJ asked you to come in studio?
Well, AJ's always actually been wanting me to come on the program for probably a number of years now. I just always wanted to, and I've always declined, and I figured, you know what? AJ was in need. He was in desperate need of a co-host. And I decided to help him out.
And this is the segment that we're talking about.
David Philpott, I've asked you to come in here a lot of times, and you always say you're too busy. What's going on? You got the day off today?
Hey, you need a co-host for a little bit. Might as well come in.
I have always said, and listen, I'm glad you're here.
Right.
You know,
I'm no Fred Fowler.
No, you're better than Fred. The only kind of person I would prefer to host a show with more than someone with a speech impediment is a black guy.
So if I was a black guy that had a speech impediment.
Oh, Lord. I would demand that they remove Fred permanently and right. You got this job. But that's just not the case.
That would be your ideal show, is a speech impediment black guy.
Yeah, that would be great. But that's very hard to come by.
They are very hard to come by. We only come in white.
That's the case. Did you do so when you had your surgery, did you have to go through like speech therapy?
Yeah, I did.
How long were you in speech therapy?
Probably, obviously, it didn't help very much.
Right. Or did you kind of like, hey, can I get my money back? What's up?
I should have demanded my money, you know? But no, I did my speech therapy until about maybe first, second grade.
Okay.
And then it kind of fell off. Or whatnot. But,
okay. When did you have your surgery?
I was like a couple months old.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even remember the surgery.
Okay.
So I could have died. I don't know.
But yeah, you may have.
I may have. Who knows? Yeah. My parents may have not told me about it. But
now, this. So when you did your speech therapy, did they just get to the point where, first of all, were there any black kids in your speech therapy classes?
No, it was
all
it was
white
one-on-one.
Kids. Right?
It was
one-on-one.
It was solo.
Oh, really?
So.
Okay. When you finished, when you finished your speech therapy, did you feel good about where you were at with speech? Or did you like, you felt good in your second grade mind, but then like when you got to around sixth, seventh grade, you were like, damn, I probably should have stuck it out a little while longer?
I will go with that direction because you probably get, you probably think, okay, I did fairly well. And then, hell, you go in eighth grade, ninth grade, and you're like, eh, you kind of still suck at speech.
So, yeah.
Now, I'm kind of like the Houston Texans when it comes to speech. Who do you think is better?
I can understand you.
Okay.
So
okay.
I feel like you're better at speech than the Texans are at football right now because I can't always tell if it's actual football that the Texans
are playing. Now, that Miami game.
Yeah.
Was that first half. That was definitely something.
So your command of your vocal cords greater than
Ryan Mallett.
Bill O'Brien and Ryan Mallett's command of their teams and their lives.
Well, I would say better than Ryan Mallett showing up on time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you still work here.
Hey, I still work here.
Yeah.
I still at least attempt to pronunciate.
Yeah.
At least Ryan Mallett can attempt to show up.
Now, I'm always curious about things like this.
Okay.
And you've dealt with what do you call it? Is speech impediment offensive?
No, I'm not offended.
Because it's not really your speech per se, it's your throat,
it's
right?
It's my throat, yeah. My throat, as I hit the mic, I'm a radio professional here.
Right.
But no, it's really my throat. My throat was too small.
Okay.
So I had to make my airway bigger.
Okay.
And so I think it was either you can not breathe, or you can have decent speech. So,
what did you? And so you chose this?
No, yeah, I chose that life at like 2 months old. You know,
oh, okay.
You know.
Do you ever get like when you're at family gatherings, are you like, listen, guys, I could have found another way to breathe. I could have maybe grown gills, something.
I could have evolved.
Yeah. Instead,
I could have created a whole new species.
But okay, what I'm getting at, long story short, is how does your speech impediment affect you getting chicks?
It doesn't.
At all?
Have you not heard my new venture?
No.
I am on Black People Meet.
Oh, really?
I am.
Is it working?
And it's working. I found my niche.
Really? You love the sisters, huh?
I love the sisters. Me and the sisters, we're getting along.
That's ironic because you can barely say sisters. Try that again.
Sisters.
Yeah, you're just like, that's just a bunch of noises thrown together. You can't even say it.
No, and I have nothing. I'm not a hip-hop guy. I'm not into that culture, but hey, I just.
Is it true what they say?
Once you go black, you don't go back?
Well, that too. But is that true, first of all?
That's kind of true, yeah.
I mean, have you gone back to white women?
I mean, you dated, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. How old are you now, Philpott?
I am 28.
28. You got something to do or what?
Yeah, I gotta go play a break on the other station.
Damn it.
You wanna finish this conversation on the other side?
Yeah. Let's take a break and you go do some business and then come back here. I wanna delve into your sexual history.
This is why I haven't come on yet.
All right. Back in the saddle. AJ Hoffman and Barry Laminack joins us. You may know him from his wildly successful Sunday morning radio program, which is called Houston Game Day.
Why'd you have to look at the board? Really? You don't even know the name of the show. You had to look up
the
to get
name
it.
Of the board's not even on there.
This is no respect.
No. What time is their show on, John?
I hate you. First of all.
All right.
I was listening on the way in, and
right.
I heard Jong say that I was fat. Jong, you are the last person. You look like you have a week to live. Like, you have no hair, and you weigh about 90 pounds.
I do look like a cancer patient.
Yeah.
At the end. Like,
patient who, like, they decided to stop chemo and just, like, give
yeah,
in.
You like, look like you gave up.
Like,
you
I'm
like,
not going to fight
I'm
anymore.
I'm tired of fighting.
Yeah.
And he calls me fat.
Get in here, Philpott. Lest anyone was worried, I know a lot of people were, because when we went to break, we were at a really important turn in the conversation with David Philpott, who's kind enough to come back in here with us.
This microphone is really wet, too. I don't know what happened.
David's a squirter.
Is he? A little bit of a squirter.
Yes, yeah.
I am.
Barry.
What?
You and Philpott have something in common.
We do. I was going to
ask
you.
A lot of experience with black women.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Barry. Wow. Yep, yeah.
You're into the
I know you can't tell, but yeah,
awesome. That's good.
Yeah,
Where to go?
This is awkward. Now we're fist pounding.
Yeah, now you guys are celebrating your conquering of black women.
Wow. That's probably not the way I would put it. I dated some black women in high school. I wouldn't necessarily call it conquering.
Well, Philpott, what's the name of the website you've joined?
Black People Meet.
Black People Meet. Now, is this weird because you are not a black person? So, like, when when people are scrolling through, I assume you have a profile picture, or do you just, like, surprise when you get to the door, be right. Like, oh, I'm not black at all?
Oh, just kidding. I'm a white speech impediment guy. Hey.
Yeah. Well, they could probably tell once they talk, because as we discussed, black people don't have speech impediments.
No, they don't. That's they really don't.
Now, didn't you say that you had – why do you have the speech impediment?
Well, my airway – my throat
you have like
too
a small.
Small
throat?
Yeah, when I was
I dated
four.
A girl in high school like that. So
really?
Yeah, she didn't have a
no?
speech impediment, though.
No.
No, that's something. I got the
I'm sorry. So do you use your profile? Do you use a picture of yourself?
I use a white photo. Yeah,
okay.
I use
no,
my photo.
Okay, hold on. Time out. Let's be specific. He says he uses a photo of a white person. He didn't say himself.
I put AJ Hoffman as my profile.
No, black so women you, won't. They don't want anything to do
no,
with me.
No,
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 no. Trust
me,
that's not. They're not after that.
They're not after no. this kind of white guy.
No. No,
they're after your kind.
Not the yeah.
Well.
No, you disagree? No.
What's
no?
your success rate? Like, how many times have you like? Do you swipe right on Black People Meet? How does this work?
Yeah. Now, first of all, is it like? Are you looking for a relationship or are you looking for a pound partner?
I'm actually looking for a relationship.
Okay,
actually.
You want really? Love.
I'm looking for love.
And you've
you
been,
want to
you've
settle
been,
down with the system.
You've been looking for love in all the wrong places, and then you came across
Black People Meet.
Black People Meet. Now, what other websites did you try?
That was the first one I signed up for.
Really? Oh, you didn't do what? Tinder or anything like
well,
that?
Well, I did Tinder. I haven't done, like, Farmers Only. I haven't done...
Oh, okay.
Is there one... Do you
is
think,
there a I know speech the, impediment
I
website?
I was
going to
say, there's
like,
some
there
for, like, little people. There's some for...
I need to look it up. I need to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there is.
Maybe there is.
But would it bother you, like, if the person you were dating had a speech impediment?
Like, worse?
Like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, a big problem in my marriage is my wife and I often have communication issues. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem in most relationships.
Well, that could be a good thing.
Men and their wives don't always communicate well. I could see that being a bigger issue if you met someone on the speech impediment side.
I would love to hear y'all fight.
That's a good thing, though, because you already have a communication issues anyway.
That's true.
So it's not going to be any different.
Okay. Would you ever date a deaf girl?
That's a good question.
Because then you could basically, like, for all she
knows. No, she would probably be like, why are you making fun of me?
For all she knows, you sound like Marvin Gaye.
Now, would I be a hypocrite by saying I don't know if I would date a deaf girl? But right. I want someone to date one, then a guy who has a speech impediment.
Yeah.
Would that be a hypocrite?
Yes.
It would be?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you? So have you ever dated, did you pick up chicks in your speech impediment class and be like?
I was like six.
Okay. No, well, here's what it boils
still,
down to.
Answer the question.
When, no. When okay. did you start to, like, think that your speech impediment was getting in the way of getting laid? Like, when did you consider that that was a possibility? Like, sophomore, junior year, like, were you having struggling with the chicks?
Six.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't pick anyone up in speech impediment class.
Was it difficult with the ladies, like, in high school?
I was probably more shy, more of an introvert.
Okay.
Obvious reasons,
yeah.
I would think.
Right.
And,
did you have that same haircut in high school?
What's wrong with the haircut?
I'm just saying.
That's what we're asking.
I'm just saying if I had that haircut, I'd probably keep to myself, too.
Now, when did the affinity for black women hit you? Was that when you – did you just, like, happen to download the Black People Meet app and be like, yeah, all right, you know what? I'll give sisters a try.
That was a college thing. Definitely going up to Huntsville.
You went to TSU?
No, I went to Huntsville, Sam Houston State.
Okay.
There's no black people in Huntsville that go to Sam Houston. There's none.
You'll be hanging out at Vaughn Park.
There's at least a couple. He knows.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been hanging out at Vaughn Park in Huntsville.
And so you like it there. Did the, like, when the black women, did they seem to be more accepting of your speech impediment? Is that what was going
honestly,
on?
Honestly, that may have been a bigger key to it. I think you do gravitate to what people may be more accepting if you want to get real on that part.
Really?
And I don't know why that is. So,
that's interesting.
Interesting. So what's your success rate been on Black People Meet? How,
like, one out of 50?
Have you,
one out
have
of
you
100?
Found someone? Have you gone on dates from it? Have you?
Yeah, I've gone on dates. I've gone on multiple dates.
Okay. Have you scored?
Yeah. Have you had sex yet with one of the women off that website?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that.
That means no.
What?
That yeah. means no.
No, not necessarily no.
Come on, man.
Listen, not, Michael yeah. Carroll, Philpott, ask Michael Carroll about this. John, tell yeah. Philpott, hey, I will find out, right?
Yes, he will.
I will find out.
Come on, how many?
It's a lot better if you're upfront about it. John's figured that out now. He tells me everything about his relationship because otherwise I'll find out.
You've been trying to get me on here for years.
I know.
I think we made good progress tonight.
Okay.
This just turned into a therapy session? What the hell just happened?
Okay. Are you dating someone now?
In the process.
What?
Well, like how many dates have
you gone on? Like we've gone on 4 dates.
Okay. So, what are you?
That's dating. Yeah, that's not in the process.
Where are you at? Under the bra yet? Are you?
We could be. We could be.
Okay. Okay. Maybe under the bra.
We could be.
Filling on that.
Going around third, coming to home.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Really? Now, does your speech impediment, and as someone who's been through a lot of speech therapy, does it help you in any departments? Like where maybe your tongue is stronger?
Have you ever had anybody say, talk dirty to me? Like, talk dirty. Like, how would you talk dirty to a woman?
Yeah, let's say I was one of the chicks you met.
No, I don't have headphones, but can we get a little Marvin Gaye on?
It's going.
Put on a headset.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, get the mood. Turn the lights down. John, turn the lights down.
No one listens to that station, Philpott. Don't worry about it.
AJ, rub his shoulders. Turn the lights down, John.
So let's say for a second here, you have to plug in the cord to make it work.
Make it a professional here.
Yeah, when you put the headset on and it's not plugged in, it doesn't make any noise. You're never going to hear anything. So
I can see why you're scoring all the chicks.
Yeah, let's say, for instance,
your brains.
I'm one of the chicks on blackpeoplemeet.com. And
you're just, this is fifth date. It's time.
Okay, yeah.
It's time to talk dirty.
You've swiped right on me. Yeah. I've swiped right on you. And now we're seeing each other. And then let's say it's the night that we're going to finally make love. We're going to make whoopee. And
Chuck Woolery.
You guys.
Let's go ahead and get it on.
Now, once you guys are starting.
I'm feeling this.
Are you feeling it?
Now here,
are you in the mood?
Don't talk to Barry. I want you to focus on me and pretend that I'm this girl. And now we're making love.
I couldn't do it.
I say, tell me what you like. What would you say?
You ready, baby?
Doing it. You can't say ready to go. We're doing it now. So what are you going to say when I say, are you liking this? How does it feel?
I think you're kind of describing it right now, I would think.
No, this is me asking you. How does it feel? What do you think of this?
You know I'm trying to stay away from it. I'm kind of...
You liking this ass?
I do like the black ass.
Yo, you like my black ass?
I do like the black ass.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to spank this black ass?
Maybe not that far. Maybe not that far.
Really? You're going to say that while we're in the midst of this? This is happening.
Come on. I'm looking at... I can't look at you.
Just pretend I'm a hot black chick.
No, you're not doing it. You're not doing it for me. No.
Okay.
No.
I'll tell you what. This is doing it for me. I'm not going to lie. I got a tent over here. Man, you guys.
Woo! Okay. Well, Philpott, I think you got to work on your dirty talk.
I need a fan. Yeah, what?
I think you're going to have to work on that.
Just do this. Next time you get in that situation, just say, whose is this? Just say that. Say it right now. Say,
who is this?
No, not who is this. You're supposed to know that already. Whose is this?
Whose is this?
I
nailed it?
Yeah.
Literally?
First take.
Say, that's my ass, isn't it, girl?
That's my ass, internet girl.
Yeah.
Are you in the mood now?
Yes, it is. Yes. This tent ain't going nowhere, Philpott.
All right. Philpott, thank you for coming in. You saved the show, I think.
One more fist bump.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Because me and Barry.
Well, yeah, you guys have a lot in common.
We have a lot in common.
A lot in common.
We're hugging later.
I hope so.
I cannot
Maybe
wait.
You can tell him what to say.
I cannot wait.
I'll tell you what works and what doesn't.
Okay, cliff note.
That's
hey,
good.
Philpott, what's your Twitter handle?
_ David Danger.
_ before the words?
Yeah.
I hate that.
_ what?
David Danger.
David Danger. Danger?
Is that your Black People Meet name?
That was a Darker Night in College Station name.
All right.
Okay.
You need to change that on your profile.
No, I'm gonna follow you, David, and I'm gonna tweet out you, and I'm gonna see if there's any sisters who are willing to give you a follow as well. What are they called?
The
sisters. Yeah.
That was David Philpott joining the show back in October. You guys can follow David on Twitter. Go give him a follow. It's at underscore David Danger. And when we come back, I'll bring you one of the best interviews that we've ever had on the show. This interview comes on the heel of a brewing feud between this man and a writer in Houston. More of the best of the Blitz when we get back.
Live from the Gao Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Best of the Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com on ESPN 97.5. Here's Jong Lee.
This is the Best of the Blitz. I'm your host, Jong Lee. We're jumping straight into the next interview from January. Tom Herman joined the show after the Cougars' win over Florida State in the Peach Bowl. We were set to talk to Coach Herman about recruiting and the big New Year's Six Bowl win, but an interview with Nick Wright and John Lopez dominated sports radio in Houston for a few days, and we had a chance to talk to Coach Herman about that and also about what he's doing at U of H.
Very excited about our guest here. I've been excited about this all week. And
I'm a little bit nervous now.
Well, honestly, I wanted to have him on during the season, but Granato snaked us on him, so it's the first time we've had a chance to talk to him.
Such a kiss-ass.
And Coach Tom Herman, University of Houston, joins us. And Coach, I got to say, after yesterday, I really appreciate you coming on and dealing with more radio knuckleheads.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, we'll get to that.
And in my opinion, you're not a knucklehead. I've heard your guys' show before. You guys do a great job.
Do you mean Fred's not a knucklehead, or are you talking about both of us? Because that would be a first if you don't think I'm a knucklehead.
Well, I don't know either of you personally, so I usually save the knucklehead denotation for someone that I know personally.
All right, well, let's have lunch. Let's get to know each other.
Absolutely not.
Oh,
I told you not
Damn
to
it.
Ask, Coach. First off, I do want to ask you about that in a second, but can I just say, at 13-1, new contract, you win the Peach Bowl, it looks like you're killing recruiting. It's got to be good to be you right now, and congratulations on a terrific season, man.
I appreciate it. It is good. You know, life is great. I've got, but as with anybody that lives a really good life, a great support system, which starts with my wife here at home. We've got a director of football operations at the office. She's kind of our director of family operations here at the house. And then I've said it numerous times. I think we've got the best assistant coaching staff in America. And that includes the 9 assistants and our strength staff. And so, it has been a bit of an exhausting, 12 months. But the rewards of all of that exhaustion, have certainly been beyond my wildest dreams.
Has it been, especially the last couple months, because you've become a big star, man. Your name comes up everywhere. You're all over ESPN. I mean, the things you guys have accomplished is really, it's boosted you a lot. How has that changed things for you? Is it, and not just because you get stories reported badly, but has that changed things for you at all in terms of you know, recognizability and how much additional pressure might be out there?
No, the pressure part of it. No, I've always adhered to the saying that pressure is that uneasy feeling that you get when you're not prepared. And I'd like to think that our players and our staff and myself are about as prepared of an outfit as you'll find in the country. And then the recognizability thing. Yeah, I mean we're in the fourth largest city in America. I think I said to Matt Thomas one time that when I first got here, I could have walked through the Galleria in a pair of Speedos with U of H on the butt, and nobody would have known who I was. And I kind of liked it like that, to be honest with you. But with my recognizability comes our program and our university's recognizability, and so that's if that's what it takes to get our program noticed and to get the city of Houston fired up about the Cougs, then that's a small price to pay.
You know, obviously, I don't want to get into details and maybe the who's, but, you know, your name was brought up a lot this offseason as a possible head coach here or there. Did you get offers before UH was able to lock you up for the extension? And did you get any offers after that? And again, you don't have to name schools, but were there actually offers presented?
Yeah, I'd rather. I mean, I don't know what is considered an offer these days, but conversations got very intense, certainly.
Phone meetings, not in-person meetings. I want to make sure we differentiate.
Never in person. That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Yep.
Because there is a difference. That's not just semantics.
I did not meet with anybody. I talked to them on the phone, and so some of my representatives did. And at the end of the day, it was, you know, I like winning. And I feel like we're building a program here and not just a season, not just a one-hit wonder that, with the strides that we've made on the recruiting trail, with the players that we have coming back, I just felt like that this place, and to be quite honest, my wife and myself had kind of made the decision to stay before U of H, you know, kind of came with the package that they came with. And so, but it is very reassuring to know, you know, it's really never about the money. Nobody gets in this business for money. You know, I didn't make over $40,000 a year till I was 31 years old. So, but the neat thing is the commitment to the resources and the tools necessary to sustain championships was really the one thing that that I needed peace of mind on for my staff and for us moving forward. And Dr. Renu Couture and Hunter Yurecek have made it very clear that we will have all the tools necessary to sustain this championship level that we're at.
So, and I hope you don't take this in the wrong way, but Fred and I were asked this question a lot. If UH, and this was before the UConn game, but if UH were to run the table, what's their ceiling? And I feel like had UH run the table this year, they still wouldn't have been a playoff team. Do you feel like it's going to take sustained success before people take the program seriously enough that if you guys do run the table one year, that there's a possibility you could eventually get into that 14 playoff?
Yeah. But I think the really cool thing about where we're at right now is the American Athletic Conference has absolutely separated itself as the premier non-Power 5 conference in America. And as long as the system is set up the way that it is, with an automatic berth into a New Year's Six bowl game, that's kind of, you know, at this point in the game, and as long as the conference stays healthy the way that it is right now, you know, at this point, the winner of the championship game in the American Athletic Conference going to a New Year's Six bowl game, and that's pretty cool. I know our kids had an experience at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl that, quite frankly, is something that they've never experienced before, and they've been to bowl games. They've been to the Armed Forces Bowl. They've been to the Birmingham Bowl, and those are good bowls. They really are, but there is certainly a different level of treatment and recognition when you're playing in one of those New Year's Six games. And so the great thing about where we're at right now is, you know, you go in the conference, you're going to a New Year's Six bowl game, and there's not a whole lot of other places in the country that can say that.
Coach, it's interesting that AJ brought that up, because I was reading an article from ESPN right after that game, and one of their bowl observations was that, you know, watch out for this team next year as a possible playoff team because of the schedule you have. And I know you've looked ahead a little bit, but how exciting is it to have an OU to open the season and have Louisville coming in next year in addition to all the teams you play in conference that were really good this year? I mean, how excited are you for next year's schedule, especially considering the kids you have coming back and the kids you're bringing in?
Oh man, I'm still shining the Peach Bowl trophy and interviewing wide receiver coaches and trying to get recruiting in order. So I think to look at next year's season would be a bit premature. I think the biggest thing that has been on my mind the last few days is combating that awful word in our business, in our line of work, and that's complacency. And you know, we didn't just fall out of a spaceship and land on the championship platform there in Atlanta in the middle of the Georgia Dome. It was 12 months of absolute physical and mental, grueling physical and mental work that, that got us there. And so, you know, that's my biggest challenge right now, is to make sure that this culture stays healthy and that we can prepare to win a championship next year.
Did everything get worked out? I mean, obviously the drama behind the John Lopez thing with Kyle Allen and what's the kid's name? King, the Manville kid. Did that all get worked out? Did you talk to everybody and let them know, you know, what your intentions are, and that, you know, everything got smoothed over?
I'm not quite sure. Certainly not smoothed over with the people I talked to yesterday.
But, no, I mean with the recruits. Did you get everything worked out with the recruits?
Yeah, there was never an issue.
Okay.
The only issue was that I had told a recruit, hey, we're talking to Kyle Allen, and 10 minutes later I get a call that says, Coach, there's a report out there that says actually Kyle Allen was in Houston and that you met with him in person with another assistant coach. Are you lying to me, Coach? And so I had to defend myself, and I defended myself at that time, and you know, the recruit believed me, and everything was fine. But it was in poor taste of me to get so angry, certainly publicly. And for that, I apologize, but, I just, in today's day and age, you know, the facts matter, and, you know, you can't be partially pregnant and you can't be partially right. You're either right or wrong. And, the facts matter. And, you know, I had had enough of, you know, from the job rumor mill to then this situation. It just kind of came to a head from a lot of frustration from a lot of different areas.
That's something I kind of wanted to ask you about, Coach, because this one was, I think, particularly egregious, but it's kind of been a stretch here. I mean, right after that, you had someone else reporting, well, it would have been a violation if they met. When,
that's not true.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, it starts the 14th, correct? So,
correct. Yeah.
And then you had the same station basically 3 weeks ago or a month ago reporting that you'd taken the Georgia job based on a tweet from someone no one had ever heard of. Was this just kind of, it finally added up and you said, you know, enough of this. I'd like to see some accountability on your part too.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, when I screw up in my business, there are really, really harsh repercussions. And in most lines of work, that's the case. And like I said, if you're gonna be wrong, sometimes you get it wrong. I'm okay with that. It wasn't the wrong at first that upset me. It was the repeated calls and refutes from myself and from others to say this is wrong. It, quite frankly, needs to be taken off the internet, and yet everybody associated with it continued to defend it, and it just, you know, again, when I'm wrong and I screw up in my job, there are some really, really harsh repercussions, and it just feels like in today's quote-unquote media or journalist or whatever, sports talk show host, entertainment personality business, that there's just no repercussions. And if your sources were wrong, they were wrong. And that's okay. Sometimes that happens. But, you know, it's just a shame that there's no repercussions for being wrong and then defending, continually defending lies in the face of truth. That's hard to swallow.
And I'll be honest, I'm glad you issued the statement you did the other day, because this is something that I've been pounding for a long time and nobody listens because I'm old school. But the truth is that the way the media world is now, you're going to have stuff like this, and it's unfortunate. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about it. And I'm glad that we didn't interrupt you every 10 seconds when you tried to answer the questions.
I certainly appreciate that as well.
So, Coach, I want to ask you to move on a little bit here. You know, we'd heard your name come up a lot, but your assistants have to be getting to be pretty hot names too. Major Applewhite and Todd Orlando. Have those guys started getting some calls and people started noticing them as well and the job that they've done?
They have. In fact, one of the I'm proud, but yet, you know, it's made my life a lot harder because this week was supposed to be a week off, but I'm having to interview wide receiver coaches all week, but you know, our wide receiver
job.
Coach is 28 years old, got the offensive coordinator job at Rutgers. He'll be the youngest Power 5 conference school offensive coordinator in America, and well-deserved, well-trained, certainly ready for it. And, yeah, the phone has rung quite a bit for a lot of different assistants of ours. And, again, that's kind of – it's kind of like, you know, all that job speculation on my part. It's a testament to us and what we built and are continuing to build here. But it certainly, you know, after a while, it becomes an annoyance. But it's you understand that's part of the deal when you have success.
That's Coach Tom Herman, University of Houston. And Coach, really appreciate the time and thanks for coming on again. And hopefully, we'll talk to you again after. Signing day, so we can talk more specifically about some of these kids you got coming in. And once again, congratulations on a great season, and can't wait to see what you do next, man.
Would love to. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on. Appreciate your professionalism, and go Cougs.
All right.
That was Coach Tom Herman, University of Houston head football coach. And as an alum, I am damn proud of the Cougars. And it was an awesome season with almost a storybook ending. I hope you guys appreciated that interview. I know it's been one of my favorites to listen to and to produce and to be part of since I've been in radio. And on the way out, I'm going to give you weekend passes to Mardi Gras Galveston happening February 5th and 6th. Caller number 8. You'll win a weekend pass to Mardi Gras Galveston February 5th and 6th. The city of Galveston and Bud Light bring you Mardi Gras Galveston. Win 2 weekend general admission pass to hit Galveston's historic downtown district for Mardi Gras Island style. On February 5th and 6th, it's over 30 concerts, including Corey Morrow on the Bud Light stage Friday, February 5th, 22 parades, 20 balcony parties, and 5 elegant mask balls. Mardi Gras Galveston offers excitement that everyone can enjoy January 29th through February 5th. Get tickets, event schedules, and information at MardiGrasGalveston.com. And when we come back, we'll bust out some more, I guess, songs from the vault when we come back. This is Jong Lee, and this is the Best of the Blitz.
Live from the Gao Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Best of the Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com on ESPN 97.5. Here's Jong Lee.
Oh, yes, Adele, bringing us back. Welcome back to the Best of the Blitz. This is where we do the gem of the day. So this next, next part of the Best of the Blitz will be the gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Panhock Jeweler gem of the day.
One of the biggest album releases last year was Adele's 25. Coupled that with one of our favorite things to do here on the show is to drink. Four Loko was dropped by in studio by Roger from Four Loko. What better than Adele and Four Loko? I think the rendition of Hello was much worse. Much, much worse than the Sam Smith you heard earlier on in the show. You guys be the judge.
We have some Four Loko here. Jong and AJ both slam two of these so that we could get Jong drunk enough to sing Adele, which is going to happen this segment. So.
Yes. We'd like to thank Roger from Four Loko for dropping these off.
Right.
Yesterday.
So, are you sure you want to thank him?
Well, let's see how the singing goes. But that's going to happen this segment. We're going to do it in just a minute. But in the interim, you know, there's these signs outside the Yahoo studio that say no food or drink. And I always make fun of him. Like, what idiot would spill in a studio?
Yeah.
This idiot. Yeah. The one guy who's not drinking spills coffee all over the place to start the show.
True.
And then my computer goes down and is still attempting repairs.
Did you spill coffee on your computer?
No. The coffee went towards AJ. And we have a pretty big table here, and it just sort of spread that direction.
Can you imagine if this happened in an old studio, where how much mess it would have made?
Oh, yeah. It would have destroyed my computer, his computer.
Probably the mics, because it would have went into the computers.
Well, I've learned my lesson. I'm now putting them over here, so the only way I knock them down, they fall on the floor or fall on my leg. But because I always have a cup of coffee and a cup of water for the whole show. All right. You all right in there?
I'm fine.
You're howling. You're still red. By the way, and Tyler's awful red, too. I know he's having one of those. So.
Did Tyler finish the whole big can?
No, I think he's working on it right now.
He needs to pick up his game a little bit.
Okay.
Well, but and Tyler is a pretty good drinker, from my understanding. He drinks...
He drinks good beer, but yes. I've never actually been with him for a volume effort. See, I'm a...
He has about a couple inches left.
Okay. Well...
That's what she said.
Yeah. He also mentioned something about having sex or something earlier, so maybe that explains it. All right. You ready for this or no? Now he's finished it now.
Yeah, Tyler finished it.
While you're doing that, I came up with an idea that I want to bounce off the team here after you guys have had a couple, because it's a better idea with you drunk. I think we should do this on a Friday and have David Gow in here and have him have a few with us and let the listeners ask David Gow questions about the station while imbibing with us.
That's a terrible idea.
I know it's a terrible idea, but it'd be fun.
Yeah.
See, we're the only sports station where you can have the CEO and owner of the station actually come in during your shows.
That's true. Well, 1560 can too, but we're the only sports station you can hear that can do that.
Well, yeah. That's not nice. You're supposed to lock it in. Come on. Anyway. I could just... John's... Oh, boy, this is going to be a disaster. All right, John, get yourself together, man. You got to do some singing here. So, and if you've never heard the show before, we do this from time to time, and it's usually a disaster or it's great. There's no in between. So if you hate it, that's okay.
It's usually a disaster.
I want you to belt this out, John, from the inside.
Well, the thing is that Adele has such a range that I can't really do.
I don't care. I want you to try. Oh boy!
Now David Philpott comes into the studio.
Oh no! I want backup from Philpott.
Philpott can get in on this.
It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to me to go over everything.
Here we go.
They say it's time I'm supposed to heal you, but it ain't much healing. Hello.
Oh, yeah, John.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm in California dreaming about who you used to be.
We used to be really
when we were younger.
And free.
And free.
Yeah.
I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell off my feet. Such a difference.
How many miles, though?
Between us. Million miles.
But
hello from the other side.
Oh yes. How many times did you call?
Must have called 1,000 times.
That's right. What were you gonna tell me?
To tell you I'm sorry.
For what?
For everything I've done. When I call you, never seem to be home. Hello from the other side. At least I say that I try.
Oh, it's so good, John.
To tell you I'm sorry.
For what?
To think in your heart that it doesn't really tear you apart anymore.
Oh, I love when you get to that romantic part. Are you going to do another verse?
Hello.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm all right. It's so typical, though.
It's so typical of me to talk about myself. I'm sorry. I hope that you're well. Did you ever make it out of town?
No.
Nothing ever happened. It's no secret.
What isn't a secret?
That the both of us are running out of time.
All right, kill it here, John.
Hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times.
Yes.
How many times?
1,000.
To tell you I'm sorry for everything I've done. When I call you, never You never seem to be home. Hello from the outside.
Oh, yeah.
At least I've tried. I've tried.
You have tried.
To tell you I'm sorry for breaking your heart.
That's enough. That's
yeah.
Enough
of this. You know, I could never.
Fred, what do you think of that?
I think I could never hook up with Adele because 10 years later, she'd come back and say, "Don't you miss me?" No, dude. You're kind of chunky, and that was once.
And I'm checking Twitter, and I think I'm getting mixed reviews here.
Okay. I will be. I think I might be checking Twitter shortly. I think my computer might be back, so I'll let you know. But we should probably – we'll go to break, and hopefully I'll have a computer when we come back.
Yeah, apparently it's either radio gold or my ears.
Okay, see, that's – and that's what we go for here. And a lot of people say, oh, let's just be solid and go right down. No, we're either going to suck hard or we're going to be awesome.
Was Rich Lord – was what he was doing at 5 o'clock better than that? I can't imagine.
That wraps up 2 hours of Best of the Blitz. We still have more to come. I hope you guys enjoyed that terrible, terrible singing of Adele. I'm sure it will happen again. Not Adele, but I'm sure the singing will happen again. In hour number three, you guys know my girlfriend Teresa. She's going to make an appearance. And a little bit of drinking going on the show. That will make another appearance. We'll be right back after these messages.